Good morning. You're out there. I know it's a late night, but you fall back. We got an hour last night. Wasn't that great? I love it. My name is Paul Boersma. I am the senior chaplain here at Hope College. And please don't be overimpressed with that title. It just means I am the oldest member of the campus ministry staff at 53 years old, and that I've served on the team the longest. This is my 19th year, which I am deeply grateful for. Can you believe October is done? I gotta be honest with you, this is not one of my favorite months. I don't know about you. November, can I get a witness? Yes. November can be a very tough month. For me, if you take Thanksgiving out of November, there's not a lot to November, and especially here in Holland, Michigan. I mean, you gotta think, I heard an amen on that one. I mean, think about it. The days grow shorter, the temperatures get colder. For you Hope College students, the academic intensity, full throttle, right? Friendships get a little edgy. The glamour of the new school year has kind of worn off. And for many of us, our spiritual lives seem somewhat dry and crusty. Like God is distant, like he's gone away somewhere. If that's you this morning, or even if you're leaning in that direction, I think Genesis chapter 39 can be helpful for us as we navigate through this season, but not only this season, but through the various seasons of our lives. So I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible in front of you or a smartphone, I'm getting used to that, look up Genesis chapter 39. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 31. Genesis 39. Now, as you're looking that up, Genesis 39 picks up on the life of Joseph. Now, a quick bio on Joseph. Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob. Jacob is the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Now, notice I said that Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. But I didn't say that Joseph was also the favored son of his father, Jacob, which didn't set well with his older brothers, who after years of jealousy and resentment came to a boiling point one day that they sold their brother Joseph to some traveling Ishmaelites. Now for you younger siblings in here, this is a warning. Don't mess with your older brothers or sisters, or someday you may be finding yourselves being sold to some traveling Ishmaelites, whatever that means. But that's where we find Joseph as we pick up his story, Genesis 39, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house, and he put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and with him there, he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Seems like there was quite a life shift for Joseph. It looks like he almost hit the jackpot, right? He went from lowly foreign slave to now he's the right-hand man of one of Pharaoh's top officials. Things seem to be going right for Joseph. In fact, the scripture says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and all that he did prospered." I don't know if you noticed it, but in those first three verses, twice the phrase comes up, "And the Lord was with Joseph," signifying God's divine presence with him. Have you ever experienced a God with you season of your life? You know, when everything seems to be going right, that God seems to be right there next to you. When God's presence seems near, when God's voice seems clear, and that he's directing, providing, and directing your life. It's wonderful, those God with us seasons. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, makes reference to these God with us seasons, and he says this, that at times God will send us a strong sense of his presence, a desire to be with him, and the ability to withstand temptation with ease. However, Lewis goes on to say, but God never allows these state of affairs to last long, and for Joseph, it doesn't. Listen to the story as it continues with verse 7 of chapter 39. Now, Joseph was a handsome and good-looking. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He has put everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or be with her. Then one day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment with her in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, she called out to the members of her household and said to them, "See, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Then she kept his garment by her until his master, came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came into me to insult me, but as soon as I raised my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." When his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way that your servant treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he remained there in prison. Verses 7 through 20 of chapter 39 chronicles a period of time in Joseph's life where he endures repeated temptation, slander, false accusations, which ultimately land him in jail. And during that time, those 14 verses, I don't know if you noticed it when I read them, God's name is not mentioned once. And you have to be thinking along with Joseph, where is God in this time? In fact, I wonder if Joseph felt a lot like my friend who sent me this email about a year ago. "Dear Paul,
I had an awful summer this year that left me feeling angry, bitter, isolated from God. I always took situations and thought God was in control and that everything happens for a reason and for the best. But then I broke this summer. I have never been angry at God before, but I'm going through a period in my life where I do not pray, I do not go to church, and I do not read my Bible, nor do I have any desire to do any of these things. God has left me. Why should I follow? It's easy to assume at times like this, when things are not going well, that God has left us, that somehow something that we've done in our past, that God is holding that against us, and that we have been in a situation that God has somehow disregarded us, or that God doesn't care about us, or that we find no value in God. These thoughts had to be crossing Joseph's mind during this time as he's sitting in a prison cell. But the story continues in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph care over all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Did you hear that phrase again? And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Two more times in the last three verses of chapter 39, we hear that phrase again. And that phrase, and the Lord was with Joseph, bookends chapter 39, which covers an 11-year period of Joseph's life. A life that has been filled with all kinds of joys and frustration, highs and lows. But the message is clear. The Lord was with Joseph during all the different points of Joseph's 11-year journey in chapter 39. Whether Joseph realized or not, was aware of it or not, that the Lord was with Joseph. That line, and God is with us, or the Lord is with us, is used throughout Scripture. And it means much more that the Lord is just near, like a lucky charm or a rabbit's foot. It means much more than that. It means that God is for us, that God stands for us, that God fights for us. And the author of Psalm 23 knew that well when he says, "And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You're with me. Do you believe that? I have a feeling with this bigger group here today that there are some here sitting that are saying, "Paul, that is so very nice, but you do not know my circumstances right now. I don't believe that the Lord is with me, or the Lord stands for me, or the Lord fights for me, because you don't know what's going on in my life." If that's you this morning, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Kathy Holbrook. Kathy and I went to high school together way back at Ottawa Hills High School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Kathy and I also graduated from Hope College together. Kathy has had two of her children graduate from Hope already, and a third who is still a student at Hope. But Kathy and her family went through a radical shift in their life on August 20 of this year. Kathy, what happened on August 20 of this year?
Well, on August 20, my oldest daughter, Hillary, and I were in Mexico on a mission trip with our church. My husband, Taylor, was on a bike trip in upstate New York, and our other daughter, Sarah, was working at her job in upstate New York. We got a phone call in Mexico that Andrew had been in a car accident.
Andrew is your son,
who is a sophomore
here at Hope.
Got it. He had stayed in Holland to work at a marina this summer. So what we got from the phone call was that his friend from New York who had come out to visit had been driving, and he had been killed in the accident. Andrew was not brain dead, and that is all we knew about his condition. So we immediately started making plans to get to Michigan from both sides of the country. And thinking about your theme of God with us, the minute we put that phone down, pieces started to fall into place for us to be able to get to Michigan. We had to cross the border. We had to get flights from San Diego to Michigan. My husband was on his bike in the middle of nowhere. The police had to track him down. The whole flight from San Diego to Michigan, I kept on repeating the verses, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think I said that 1,000 times. It's all that went through my head. And I did feel peace. I didn't feel panic. I was scared, but I felt this tremendous peace. We landed at Grand Rapids Airport.
The plane ride was how long?
It was 2 plane rides. I have no idea. It was long.
Yeah.
It was long. But just getting through the border, everything went just perfectly. So we got to Grand Rapids. It had taken us 18 hours, actually, from the time we got the phone call. And as we came down through our gate, Taylor and Sarah were coming through the other gate.
Right at the same time.
Exactly the same time. And it was just a little message from God. I'm with you. You're not alone here.
And at this point, all you know is he's been in an accident. And
he's not brain dead.
Got it.
Yes. We saw lots of people with these joyous reunions. We fell into each other's arms and just cried and cried. My aunt and uncle brought us to the hospital. And there we saw our beautiful boy. It was hard to see him under all of the apparatus, but it was just such a comfort to finally be there. Hope Administration, Andrew's friends, my family, everybody had held vigil until we got there.
So you get there.
Yes, we got there. Yeah. He was in a coma. There's something called the Glasgow Coma Scale. It goes from the lowest 3, which is a persistent vegetative state, up to 15. Andrew was a 5. He wasn't responding to any kind of stimuli whatsoever. He had a probe in his brain. They had shaved his head to measure the swelling. He was on a ventilator, and that's what we came to.
Wow. So you come into this. Doctors are, I'm guessing, are saying to you, the next 48 hours, crucial of just if Andrew's even going to survive. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So what's going on in your mind and this whole theme of God with you?
Yeah. I think for those 48 hours that we never stopped praying. Every person who came to be with us, as you know, you were there, prayed with us. We never stopped praying. We were talking to friends and praying as we were talking, and it was just, in some ways, a beautiful experience because I don't think I've ever felt that close to God in my life. It was so scary. That's all we had to cling to.
Yeah.
And so I have in my notes here that our constant prayer was grace for the day. It grew to that, but it was grace for the hour initially. Yeah. It really was. It took a few days. I'm not sure it was 48 hours. I think it was a little longer until they could take the brain probe out and do an MRI. Before they did the MRI, they had done a CAT scan. And I asked the neurologist, are you cautiously optimistic for Andrew to recover? And he said, no.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was cautiously optimistic, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
And that was just the first of many, many times where doctors told us something very grim. Mm-hmm. And then God showed us that he had something else in mind for our boy.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple days later, they did the MRI, and it was pretty devastating. Andrew had multiple injuries in every lobe of his brain.
Wow.
Basically affecting every aspect of mm-hmm. his life.
Mm-hmm.
That was really probably tougher than hearing about the accident.
Yeah.
In those days, there are three things that really stuck with me. The first was a prayer that you prayed when you came.
Hmm.
It was very early, maybe the day after, and yeah. you prayed that that until we are directed differently, we're going to pray for complete healing.
Hmm.
That was kind of a revelation to me. We can do that. Wow, yeah, okay. That's what we're doing.
Yep.
I have a good friend who teaches at Calvin, Pearl Shanquan. She came and prayed, and she said, God, we know that you spared Andrew's life for a reason.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, I believe that. And finally, the other thing that has really stuck with me was I teach high school in New York. I obviously didn't go back this year. I got an email from an incoming student in my AP language class. I had never met her. She said, I heard about the accident. I want to send you Psalm 91, which begins, he who abides, I have to look. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So that became Andrew's psalm. Sarah wrote it out on a piece of paper. We put it on his bulletin board. We read it to him every night, and we still do.
Hmm.
And it was just a real sense that God was protecting Andrew throughout this experience, and that we were dwelling under the shelter of the Most High.
Hmm. It's easy to ask during times like this, God, why? But probably the more important thing is to say, not the why, but God, where are you in the midst of all this?
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple things where you really felt God with you.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any other like specific incidences or visits from people
yeah.
that have come even, you're up to, I don't know, 70 plus days now yeah. since August.
Yeah.
Any other things that really
lots
stand out?
Lots and lots and lots. So I just have chosen a couple that I want
Good.
To talk about.
Good.
A really low point, it was maybe the third day we were taking turns staying overnight. It was my turn. It was probably 4:30 in the morning, and I was really down. A nurse came in who wasn't Andrew's nurse. She sat down next to me, and she started talking to me. It was just so clearly God-ordained.
Hmm.
She ended up telling me about another patient, a girl, her daughter's best friend, who had had a car accident, the exact same brain injury Andrew had, and offered to have her mother talk to me.
Hmm.
So we have become great friends. I mean, it's there's a lot to this story, but that was a really beautiful gift to me because I have been able to go to this woman, Kathy, mm-hmm. And ask her questions and talk to her about her experience. Her daughter, Mary, is back in college.
Wow.
And has come to meet Andrew and talk to him and compare notes. They were both at Mary Freebed. So Jen, the nurse who connected me with Kathy, was just a real gift.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Hope community has been the body of Christ to us. Andrew has a wall in his room that we call his short-term memory wall.
Hmm.
And every visitor that comes, we take a picture of and post it up there so he can remember who's been there. In the beginning, he couldn't remember at all that people were coming to see him. And now he, has progressed to where he loves to look at those and talk about the visits.
Hmm.
But the support of the Hope community has been a gift, especially for him in his recovery.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that we have used Care Pages,
yes.
which has been such a blessing to us.
How many of you have read those Care Pages? Yep.
Yeah, it's a wonderful site for people who've had a traumatic incident.
Yep.
It's kind of like a blog we post. People can send us messages. And I'd like to read two of the messages.
Sure.
care pages, people tell us, is a blessing to them, mm-hmm. but it's just as much a blessing to us. So at the end of every day I post, I say, here's what happened today. Sometimes I list the specific requests for prayer. Here's one in response to the MRI and tests that have been discouraging. Don't throw those tests away. They are not for those who believe. They are for those who don't. The doctors, the OTs, the PTs, the doubting Thomases of the world who need proof that this is a miracle. Andrew is here for them so they can touch Christ's palm and feel the wound and know that God does perform miracles and answer prayers. When they say no, just smile and know that someday they will point to the sky and believe. This is a reference to Andrew's doctor who told us that Andrew would not progress as far as he has already progressed. Mm-hmm. And he said to us, I don't know how to explain it except... And we said, you're exactly right. That's that's how we explain it. Yeah. So that was a response to his doctor. And then this is the other way that Care Pages goes. This is Jeff's mom. I have been reading all your posts and have often wanted to post, even though we are only acquaintances. My prayers go out to you and your family. Let me tell you why your family has changed me. Jeff is going through drug addiction and yesterday went back to rehab for a second time. It is these pages that have shown me that there is a higher power, one that I have not reached out to, and now realize the miracles that he can bring if only you ask for his help. The Lord has sent his angels to wrap their wings around Andrew and his family. Your experience has changed me, and I am forever grateful that I have pledged to have Jesus in my life. For without him, I now know that we are not whole. Thank you, and God bless all of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a journey. What a journey. So what would you say to somebody, Kathy, out there, who's like, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like that mother was one of them who goes, yeah. I don't know if God is with you in the midst in pain. What would you say?
I think what I would say is that none of us can control what happens to us. That's not the way the world works, but we do know that God is there, and we need to reach out to God. I don't really have any profound advice to give except that God is there. And I think sometimes it's only through the tragic times in our life that we have nothing else. We can't depend on anything else. And so we reach out in desperation. And yeah, God
opened yourself
there.
Up. Yeah. And as I was listening to you, you said one phrase, you said, Paul, it's been through this that I've never experienced God's intimacy or closest to me than any other part of my life. A new freshness of God's closeness and with you.
Right.
Thanks for sharing. You shared something. I'm going to share one thing for my friend here. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew opens up his gospel with a quote from the prophet Isaiah, who says this about the coming Messiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. And then the Gospel of Matthew closes with the words of Jesus when he says this, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is the reality of God's promise that he will be with us, praying on our behalf, fighting for our healing and reconciliation, pursuing us, and inviting us to new life in him. So do you remember that email that I read to you just a few minutes ago from a friend of mine sent a year ago at a very difficult time? They just sent me an email recently back, and they wrote this. Dear Paul, I found the email that I sent you a year ago. The words that I had written were so harsh but brutally honest. I immediately started crying, and I knew that God wanted me to hear those words read out loud and to remind me that he was here for me. Therefore, I would like to add another chapter to my story, because where I left off on my walk with God was utter despair and hopelessness. My highest joy in the Lord was followed by my greatest despair. However, my time of despair was only temporary, and again has been followed by a time where I've experienced God blessings in new way. There weren't any aha moments to bring me back to God. It was just a subtle and gradual realization that life sucks without God. That's my friend's way of saying God is with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. God, thank you for your loving kindness that you show to us all by grace. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But you give it freely to us through your Son, Jesus. Bless you, O God, for the good work that you are doing in Andrew Holbrook's life. A miracle, Lord, of your evidence that you are with us. And so now, God, if there's somebody sitting here today who is just at that point of despair, of hopelessness, of feeling like you have left them, God, let them hear clearly your voice saying, I am for you. I stand for you. I fight for you. I love you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.